I am their Prime Minister, and this is their government. And I will never give up on that fight. There are some people in recent days who say the Labour government should have a different fight, a fight with itself, instead of a fight for the millions of people who need us to fight for them. And I say to them, I will never walk away from the mandate I was given to change this country. I will never walk away from the people that I am charged with fighting for. And I will never walk away from the country that I love. And that is the country who I truly believe we are, a compassionate, reasonable, live and let live country, a diverse country, where given half the chance, we'll help each other out. That is who we are as a country, and I want to serve every single part of that country, the country that I love. But the fight coming up in politics, the real fight, is not in the Labour Party. It's with the right-wing politics that challenges that, the politics of reform, the politics of divide, 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 grievance, 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 that will tear our country apart. That is the fight that we are in. And I will be in that fight as long as I have breath in my body.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 10th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Epstein files and the push from Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna to unredact some of the names in the Epstein documents. Some of the people that are believed to have been accomplices of Epstein or co-conspirators. We're talking about six names that are currently redacted, but Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna, they have gone through the files and they have seen these names, these individuals. According to Thomas Massie, we're talking about very high-level, powerful individuals. And they were at the Department of Justice, and he said in 2 hours, they went through some of the documents, and they identified six names that they believe should be unredacted, and they cannot say the names because this could open them up to all kinds of legal liabilities. But what they will do is they will put this to the House. And then if this is discussed in Congress, in the House, the names can be revealed and there will be no risk of any kind of lawsuit or any kind of legal liability. So that's the plan that Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna are thinking of putting forward. But the DOJ, they have revealed a name in one of these email communications, which allegedly is who allegedly could be an Epstein accomplice. I'm choosing my words carefully. I think we all know the name that I'm talking about. Let me read you the email exchange, the X exchange between Thomas Massie and Todd Blanche, the assistant DOJ. Thomas Massie said, this is a well-known retired CEO. DOJ should unredact this. Why did they redact it? And Todd Blanche responds, the document you cite has numerous victim names. We have just unredacted Les Wexner's name from this document, but his name already appears in the files thousands of times. DOJ is hiding nothing. For which Thomas Massie replies, in response to my posts on X today, DOJ, one unredacted and FBI file that labels two individuals as co-conspirators, unredacted a file that lists several men who might be implicated, and three tacitly admitted that Sultan Ahmed bin Salman was the sender of the torture video. So there was some exchange between Epstein and a redacted name where they do talk about some sort of a torture video. That's the post from Thomas Massey. It's actually a complete thread that he posted based on the messages that were exchanged on X between himself and Todd Blanche. So Les Wexner is a name that Todd Blanche has unredacted. Thomas Massey, speaking to the media, said that we could be looking at six co-conspirators. There was a report that came out about a month ago, which talked about 10 co-conspirators. And Massey points out that Kash Patel, the FBI, they stated that they found no evidence of accomplices or co-conspirators. Let me pull up Massey's email thread. Massey said, "This is significant because Kash Patel testified to Congress that the FBI had no evidence of other traffickers. This is the FBI's own 2019 document listing Wexner as co-conspirator in trafficking. It wasn't unredacted until tonight." So he's claiming that Todd Blanche just unredacted that. So they're going to take this to the House. I think that's the plan. And once they take it to the House, the names will be revealed. The Associated Press, they are reporting that the FBI concluded Epstein wasn't running a trafficking ring for powerful men, files show. According to the Associated Press, citing the FBI, nothing to see here. It was all Ghislaine and Epstein. The Associated Press, what did they say? The FBI found scant evidence the well-connected financier had a trafficking ring serving powerful men. Citing a review of internal Justice Department records, AP claimed that U.S. federal authorities had recovered proof incriminating solely Epstein and his partner Maxwell in exploitation and abuse of victims, including underage girls. Okay, that's the FBI, that's the Associated Press, right. We're supposed to believe that. That's the article that they published just the other day. Ghislaine Maxwell, according to CNN, she is saying that she will reveal everything. She will tell all if Trump grants her clemency. She also said that she will prove that Trump did nothing wrong. She will clear Trump's name. But what she requires is clemency from the U.S. president. So a reporter asked Massey about the co-conspirators. And the reporter said, "You mentioned there were some things redacted that shouldn't have been. Can you elaborate?" Massey said, "Yeah, six men's names. One is even listed as a co-conspirator. Why would you redact his name? It's not just victims, names that have been redacted." Why would you redact names other than the victims? Yeah, why would you redact allegedly these accomplices or co-conspirators or other individuals involved in the email exchanges between themselves and Epstein, for example, in the email exchange regarding the torture video? Why would you redact those names? Those are not victims' names. So that's what Massey said. There's a room that they set up in Congress, a viewing room, where you have to go between a certain time if you're a member of Congress, and you can go to this viewing room. You have to leave all of your electronic electronic stuff, your phones, etc., your laptops. You have to leave that outside of the room. You can take notes, but once you enter the room, you can go through. My understanding is that you can go through many of the unredacted files that do have all of these names revealed. So Massey has gone through these files. Lauren Boebert, she went through these files as well. Representative Luna, and they all left Congress pretty shocked as reporters were asking them questions. You could tell that they were pretty shocked at what they had read. Axios has an article with the title, Epstein File Review Yields Six New Likely Incriminated Men, lawmaker says. So a country that is getting slammed by the revelations in the Epstein documents is Norway. Who had that one picked out? Who could have called that one? Norway is popping up a whole lot in the Epstein documents. Norwegian elite, Norwegian officials, Norwegian royalty. They are popping up a whole lot in these Epstein documents. And now we have an ambassador of Norway to Jordan and Iraq, Mona Juul, who has shown up in the files, and she has quit as a diplomat. Another blow to Norway from Epstein files as diplomat quits. Norway's ambassador to Jordan and Iraq, Mona Juul, showed a serious lapse in judgment, Foreign Minister Espen Barth Eide said. Norwegian media reported that Juul's husband, Terje Rød Larsen, had dinner with Epstein in Paris in 2019, just weeks before Epstein's arrest by U.S. authorities on trafficking charges. The media reports referred to emails in the latest tranche of files released by the U.S. Justice Department, where it says, Jeffrey says he will meet with Terje and Thornburg. How do you spell his name? In Paris on Thursday, June 20th. Several other prominent Norwegians have appeared in the Epstein files, including Crown Princess Mette Marit and World Economic Forum President and former Foreign Minister Børge Brende. Jagland, also a former Norwegian Prime Minister, is facing a police investigation over alleged corruption in relation to his contact with Epstein. You also have the Nobel Peace Prize, or someone associated with the Nobel Peace Prize, who has also been caught up in the Epstein files. That's a lot of high-level Norwegian elite that have been caught up in these files, and they've had to resign. The ambassador has had to resign. The WEF is going to investigate their CEO. We'll see how that turns out. And the Jagland, former prime minister, that guy is also undergoing an investigation. The crown princess, we'll see what's going to happen with the crown princess, but the ambassador, and from my understanding, her husband, to have dinner with Epstein in 2019, June 2019, just weeks before he got arrested. They knew everything about Epstein. But by then, absolutely, everyone knew everything about what was going on with Epstein. Everyone knew his whole backstory and all of that. And yet they still were ready to have dinner with the guy weeks before he was going to be arrested. What were all of the elite in Norway up to? What was going on with all of these elite in Norway? So let's talk about the European elite, since we're on the subject. Let's talk about the EU elite and their plan to fast-track Ukraine into the European Union. They're going to to put together a plan that is called reverse enlargement. Reverse enlargement is what they're calling it. No joke. This is what they're calling their plan to fast track Ukraine into the EU. Basically, the plan is this. You first enter the European Union. They give you membership into the European Union. And then you have to fulfill all of the requirements for the European Union. So the European Union has all of these requirements that can take many years, sometimes many decades, to fulfill. And then once you meet all of the criteria in finance and legal and all of these things, then you are granted membership into the EU. Well, they're going to reverse that. The EU and Ursula, they're reversing all of that. And now the plan for Ukraine is we're going to let you into the European Union. So you are going to become a member of the EU, Ukraine. And then you can start to deal with all of your fiscal, financial, judicial, human rights stuff, whatever. You have to go through the whole list and do all of these things. But you're in the EU. So no worries. That's the plan for fast tracking Ukraine into the EU. Unbelievable stuff. 5 steps to get Ukraine into the EU in 2027. Plans to bring Kiev into the tent before it has completed all reforms and to remove Hungary's veto signal a sense of urgency in Brussels. The EU is hatching. They're hatching an unprecedented plan that could give Ukraine partial membership in the bloc as early as next year as Brussels tries to shore up the country's position in Europe and away from Moscow, according to 10 officials and diplomats. And the plan is being dubbed reverse enlargement. And they say that this idea was first floated by none other than little Napoleon Macron. He's the one that came up with reverse enlargement. So there it is. The European Union now is a pretty easy club to get into. Pretty much anyone can join the European Union. They'll let you in, and then you can deal with whatever requirements they have of you at a later date. So that's how they're going to fast track Zelensky and Project Ukraine. And this is also how they are going to deal with Hungary and Viktor Orban, because Orban is a real big problem for the Brussels elite and their fast tracking of Ukraine, and they're getting money to Ukraine and continuing the conflict with Russia. It's Orban that is proving to be a real headache for Ursula and co. And so what they're going to do as they fast-track Ukraine into the EU by 2027, they're going to first of all, they're going to see what happens in April, and they're pushing very hard for Orban to lose the elections in April. And if that happens, then the EU is in the clear, and they don't have to worry about any Orban vetoes as they change the rules around, as they implement reverse enlargement, because they're going to have to change all the rules around to put reverse enlargement in force. And if Orban wins in April, then their plan B in order to implement reverse enlargement is to implement Article 7 on Hungary, which is the nuclear option, which removes Hungary's voting rights, pretty much. No more voting rights, no more anything, really, when Article 7 is implemented on a member state. I don't think Article 7 has ever been used on a member state, but that's their plan B. So if they can't remove Orban in April, come election time in Hungary, then the backup plan is Article 7. Step 3 is to wait for Orban's departure. The challenge for Ukraine's membership prospects is getting all 27 member countries on board, because any decision to expand the bloc requires unanimous support. Orban, Putin's closest ally in the EU, is steadfastly opposed, but the Commission and EU capitals are looking to the Hungarian election in April and also working on ways around Orban's veto. Step 5, if all else fails, remove Hungary's voting rights. Article 7. So another thing that that Brussels is going to discuss on Wednesday is the 90 billion to Project Ukraine, the 90 billion loan that they're going to then hand over to the Zelensky regime. They're going to fast track this as well, and they're going to put this up for a vote on Wednesday. The hard part is not approving the 90 billion to Project Ukraine. The hard part for Europe, the most interesting part that everyone should be keeping a close eye on is how the EU is going to raise this money, because what they're going to do is they are going to go to the markets and they're going to raise funds on the international debt market. And the 90 billion that they're looking to raise is going to be backed by the EU's long-term budgets. So the EU is going to back the 90 billion that they're going to look to raise, and that money then will be handed over to Le Gobelin Vert. That's right. He is waiting for that 90 billion. And Le Gobelin Vert is required to pay back the 90 billion only if and when Ukraine wins the conflict and Russia is forced to pay reparations. That's the requirement, the only requirement for Le Gobelin Vert to pay back the 90 billion. If Russia is not going to pay reparations to Ukraine, then the EU and the EU member states are on the hook for the 90 billion, but it's going to be interesting to see which investors are crazy enough to actually take part in this this bond issuance. Talk about flushing money down a golden toilet. So that is the update there. Zelensky, he is talking about Le Gobelin Vert. He is talking about Ukraine becoming a big arms manufacturer and a big arms exporter. And you may think that Ukraine is going to become an exporter and a manufacturer of weapons by manufacturing, producing weapons in Ukraine. How are they going to do that? How are they going to set up production facilities and manufacturing facilities to make weapons and become this big weapons producer in Ukraine as Russia annihilates any manufacturing facilities that they currently have or plan to build? Well, according to Le Gobelin Vert is going to set up these manufacturing facilities outside Ukraine, in Germany, in the Baltics, in Nordic states. That's the plan. Set up Ukrainian manufacturing in Germany or in the Baltic states. Are those still Ukrainian manufacturing facilities, according to Le Gobelin Vert? Absolutely. This is all about washing the money, right? This is how you get the money from to Ukraine and then get it back out of Ukraine. You put it into these facilities, which you claim are Ukrainian run and owned, but are located outside of Ukraine in other countries, in European countries. And that's how you set this whole thing up. Pretty clever mechanism, I have to say. But that's how you keep the washing machine spinning and spinning, right? So anyway, that's how Ukraine is going to become a military powerhouse, by setting up manufacturing facilities outside of Ukraine in third-party countries, in European countries. So now we know how the 90 billion is going to go in and how it's going to be taken back out. Pretty much that's what appears to be going on here. So the UK, they are looking at setting up a drone fleet in the North Sea that is going to monitor the movement of tankers in the North Sea, and if this drone fleet identifies any Russian shadow oil tankers, then the UK is going to seize those Russian oil tankers. This is the plan that the Royal Navy is putting together. The Royal Navy has drafted proposals for a command center for a remotely piloted flotilla of unmanned boats to police the North Sea. The drones are intended to gather evidence of illicit activities by tankers heading to and from Russian ports, which would form the basis for outright seizure of the vessels in the English Channel. Doesn't sound like a very smart idea from the UK, provoking Russia in this way. But that's the plan. Set up a drone fleet, drone command center, and then start seizing all of those shadow vessels. That's not going to piss off Russia. Nope. So, rain is coming down now. Let's wrap up this video. The head of the EU banking organization system, Martina Weimart, she is sounding the alarm on Europe's dependence on the EU's dependence on US payment systems like Visa and MasterCard. And she is saying that the EU needs to move away from Visa and MasterCard. Weimart, chief executive of the European Payments Initiative, which is made up of 16 European banks and financial services companies, cautioned that the bloc is highly dependent on international payment solutions, as quoted by the Financial Times on Monday. So we might be getting an EU payment card, huh? An EU equivalent to Visa and MasterCard, controlled by Ursula von der Leyen and Christine Lagarde, mostly by Christine Lagarde, who we know wants to place all kinds of limits, monitoring and limits on EU citizens' spending habits. So how many people are going to want the EU Visa or the EU MasterCard? Can they even put something like this together? I imagine that the United States and Trump would not be happy with an EU equivalent or an EU competitor to Visa or MasterCard. Russia's done it. China's done it. UnionPay and Mircard. We'll see if the EU does something like that. Got to move away from the dependence on the United States, while at the same time becoming completely dependent on the United States, at least for energy, just about for everything. You become completely dependent on the United States, while at the same time talk about not becoming dependent on the United States. Elon Musk is talking up the moon colony. He is saying that he will make it so that everyone can travel to the moon. He's going to build a system that allows anyone to travel to the moon. This will so insanely cool. That's what SpaceX is doing, and Mars too. So anyone's going to be able to book their ticket to travel to the moon and to hang out on the moon. And Mars as well. Nonsense. Complete nonsense. But if it makes the stock go up and up, why not? A lot of people are now asking, what's the price going to be? What's the ticket price going to be? How much is it going to cost for me to book a ticket so I can visit the moon on my next vacation? Where are you going for the summer? I'm going to go to the moon. Who knows? One day, maybe even Mars. I can travel to Mars and hang out for a couple of weeks. So should we do a clown world? wrap this video up. So we had the Super Bowl on Sunday. Congrats to the Seahawks. Not a very exciting game, but the Seahawks were the better team. And they prevailed. They showed that. Very tough defense, the Seahawks. But Trump was enjoying the game with none other than Lindsey Graham. Why does Trump continue to hang out with Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham posted a photo of himself and Trump enjoying the Super Bowl with President Trump and team. POTUS is Reagan plus a man of his word. Yeah, that's Graham's angle to get Trump to start a war with Iran. If I call him Reagan plus enough times, then I'm going to get Trump to agree to a war with Iran. That's how Lindsey Graham is working it. Netanyahu was supposed to go to the United States on the 18th, and I believe he's pushed it up, and he'll be in the U.S., I want to say, tomorrow. Either tomorrow or Thursday. But he pushed it up a full week than what he was scheduled because of the fear that Trump is starting to move away from a conflict with Iran. So Netanyahu is rushing to the United States to talk Trump out of a diplomatic solution with Iran. Always dangerous with Trump because it's always the last person that he speaks with. That's the decision that he makes. Right when he's very close to making a decision, whoever can speak to him last is usually going to get their way. So during the Olympics in Milan, in Italy, J.D. Vance was booed. And according to Kaya Kallas, who appeared on the Euronews Europe Today show. I didn't even know there was such a show. That must be a really interesting podcast, the Euronews Europe Today show. Anyway, Kaya Kallas was being interviewed on Europe Today show, and she was asked about J.D. Vance being booed at the Olympics opening ceremony. And according to Stunning and Brave, well, I guess we have heard a lot of not so nice words from the United States regarding Europe. Of course, our public also has a pride, a European pride. So it shows, she said. So she believes that the audience that booed Vance, they booed Vance because of their European pride. Yeah, okay, you keep on believing that, Stunning and Brave. I don't even know if Vance was booed, to be quite honest. I think he was, but I don't think it was because of the spectators' overwhelming feeling of European pride and angry with Vance because of what he said at the Munich Security Conference a year ago. I don't think that's the reason, if he was indeed booed. All that European pride, according to Stunning and Brave, she really needs to get out more.
Did you see those images first of U.S. Vice President being booed at the Games? What does this all say about the EU-U.S. bond?
Well, I guess we have heard a lot of not so nice words from United States regarding Europe. And of course, our public also has a pride, European pride, so it shows.
Anyway, that's the video, everybody. The rain stopped. Hopefully the sun is going to come out, and that's a wrap on my end. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. 26% off everything in the Duran shop. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.